Yeah, good morning, North State, and welcome to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460, 7:06 in the morning. Carl and Linda Bott. Good morning. It is September 22nd. Our phone lines here are 605-4567. Hey, go to KCNR1460.com. We're streaming on that. Call your friends that live in, like, Pocatello, Idaho, or Washington, D.C., or, you know, someplace back there. And, hey, Carl and Linda are on. Listen to them. Look what we get to wake up to every morning.
You can even be in the Far East.
You can be anywhere. We get people on there. Yeah. And, in fact, you can chit-chat with us on that page, too. I'm feeling good. I've had, I had good, strong cup of cowboy coffee this morning. I had cowboy coffee this morning. You can float a 45 on it. Unlike what I had yesterday with that other coffee. And speaking of other, here's Bad Bob.
Speaking of good coffee and good morning, during our vacation up in Charleston, put beans in the hand grinder and percolated them on a camp stove, and it just doesn't get any better. The percolated coffee, there's still something about it.
So it doesn't get any better than that, Bad Bob?
I think that is the quintessential coffee. You gotta hold your teeth together to keep the grounds out, but it's really good coffee.
Well, campground coffee is the best.
Speaking of the best, here's Linda.
Wow, okay. You know what? It's amazing when you actually have a little bit of rest. But we're going to share with you today so many things that happened yesterday that were just really, I think, really enriched our awareness. We're going to go into that in a minute. But first, I want to tell you about the weather. You really definitely want to know what's happening today. It's going to be 80 today, and tonight's going to be around 56 degrees. It's a beautiful day outside.
Great sleeping weather.
Definitely great sleeping weather. And this day in history, Wednesday, September 22nd. In the tradition of the Broadway stage, the lights lowered, the curtain rose, and Zero Mostel stepped into the spotlight as the fiddler played Tradition. He sang as he began the first of 3,242 performances of Shall We?
All day long I pity come if I were a wealthy man.
Let me guess, okay? Phantom of the Opera.
Fiddler on the Roof. Of course, that was not Zero Mostel, but the Broadway musical debuted on this day in 1964. Of course, it's the story of Tevye, a poor Jewish milkman with five daughters. And you'll hear Matchmaker, Matchmaker, and Sunrise, Sunset. So many beautiful songs came from that musical also on this day in history. And you know what? Why don't you give us a call if you know who the person was that did the musical for the theaters. See if you can call and guess who that is.
But I don't understand the question. Did the musical or did the music or what?
That was the star.
Oh, the star.
The star of the musical Fiddler on the Roof. It was not Zero Mostel. He did the Broadway play, 3,242 performances. So I'll tell you what, if you call, we're going to give you two tickets to the October 2nd performance of Dracula the Musical. Okay, also on this day, in 1943, singer Kate Smith finished her war bond radio appeal for 13 continuous hours. Smith. Was on the air collecting a whopping $39 million. That was a lot of money in 1943. Well, still a lot of money. Yeah. Okay. Also, let's go to, 1973, Henry Kissinger took the oath as U.S. Secretary of State. Let's see. Going down also, I wanted to say there was something. Oh, Robert Vaughn, 1964, starred as Napoleon Solo. We could have found that. That would have been a great theme song. The Man from U.N.C.L.E.
That was a great
show. Oh, so good. Debuted on NBC.
Ilya Kuryakin.
And his trusty sidekick in this James Bond spoof was Ilya. You knew that.
Kuryakin.
I am surprised.
In fact, he's still on TV. Did you know that? Yeah, at least he used to be. He's in NCIS now. He plays the...
Is he?
He plays the morgue guy. So.
Well, he's been around there. So
that's of course, it's been years since I've seen NCIS, so it could be different.
Okay. Well, there you go. Well, so, Dancing with the Stars. last night. Okay, because it's on everyone's lips. I don't care where you go.
Everyone's
somebody,
lips?
Yes. Well.
I love you, honey, but it's not on everybody.
Most people's in the pop culture, that just they turn around and they go, okay, so Dancing with the Stars, what do you think? So last night, okay, we did watch the, I caught up again one more time so I could really see what they were doing with the, all of the first contestants and then the follow-up program. I have to tell you, I'm wondering what kind of, like, they were giving David Hasselhoff. He was the first to be eliminated. You can't tell me that Margaret Cho or somebody like that who completely, you know, made the whole dancing segment just like a comedy skit should have been like, next, you know, you don't do that. So he comes out, at least, you know, I know he was swinging his hips and all that, but he was the first to go. I don't know, I was shocked. I don't know, how do you feel about it? Again, if you want to tell us who starred on Broadway, we're giving away two tickets. This is a test for the October 2nd Dracula, the musical, right here, 605-4567. We're going to come back and talk about what happened yesterday.
That's right. And we have our correspondent from the city council just wandered in here, so we're going to be talking to him too. Carlin in the Butt, Free Fire Radio, and KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, Carl and Linda Bott, 7:15 in the morning. Okay, we're calming it down a little bit here, the home of Free Fire Media. Our phone lines here are 605-4567, and also you can start chatting with us at KCNR1460.com. And Linda really is going to give away a set of tickets to Dracula the Musical if you can tell her who was the star of the movie. Fiddler on the Roof. And then she talked about...
Hey, well, let's talk...
Let's talk about yesterday.
You know what? Yeah, I really want to share...
Let's talk about something real and important.
Wow. Wow, wow, and wow.
We were hosted by Anderson yesterday. I say hosted. Mayor Norma Komnick and her crew took us around the city of Anderson, and we ate at Vittles. We had a tour of the city, the fire station there. Just all around the city of Anderson, and we talked to Jeff, who runs all the services there. We talked to
Jeff drove us around,
right, and we talked to Janie, who runs the senior citizens hall there,
wow,
which was. It was great.
Superb. The senior hall, we saw the kind of like the outlay of what they're looking at for the master plan. We saw, believe it or not, they drove us by where the sewage plant was, the parks, the trailway.
Mosquito Serenade spot.
Oh,
you know the thing that was really impressive. Yes, Anderson is...
Fire department.
Yeah, well, there's two things I want to talk about that. It's we've talked about it before, but I want to talk about it again, but... Two of the things Jeff was telling me is that they have very few employees, and those employees in the public works are there, and I say a few employees in the public works, and those are there for emergencies. They contract out that work. They have consultants and contractors for that kind of work. Now, yes, they're 10,000 person town here, but still, he said, it allows us to get the latest in new equipment and technology, and we don't have the expense of having people on the payroll. And I, you know, as a business model, is this something that Reading should really take a close look at now and then for the future? And I'm not saying wholesale, get rid of everybody that works for the city. No. What I'm saying is, as people retire, as we shift things, why don't we take a good look at consultants? Why don't we take a good look at contracting this? People get all up in arms about the number of contractors that the military uses over in Iraq and Afghanistan. Well, trust me, my friends, if you didn't have the contractors doing the laundry, doing the food, doing the cooking, doing the transport, actually guarding some of the facilities that are in the interior, plumbing, what else? Collecting the trash. All those things, you would have to double the size of your armed forces. Now, do you want to go into the draft? Because that's what it would take. And it's much cheaper, even if you're paying almost twice the money for a person to do the food, it you save money in retirements and benefits and all those things that go along with it. Anyway, but that's just talking about contractors.
It was a very I don't want to say not eye opening, but
nice,
a very heartfelt, like the pride. The mayor, Norma, and Mr. Jim, that the pride of Anderson, of what they have accomplished, where they're going, what they're doing. Talk about building incentives.
Oh, yeah. I think the Burrito Bandito.
Businesses downtown.
It's a business. They sold them the property for almost nothing, but as long as they put two buildings there, which they did. And now they're getting right. No, they're going along there. You know, of course, they were looking for the courthouse down there in Anderson, and they showed us where that was going to be along the river, along the freeway. It was that was interesting.
My mother-in-law is staying at the Gaia Hotel, which is another big feather in Anderson's cap. Fantastic facility and an excellent restaurant. We went there the other night, couldn't get a table because there were so many people there on a Monday night.
Well, yeah, it's a nice facility.
We went to Biddle's, which was the which is owned by the Martinez
locally,
family.
Yes.
And what I asked him, you know, so how hard was it to build here? Because he didn't just leave like a wall up. He tore down everything, and once you tear down everything and you rebuild, you can get everything starts over again. And so all of the fees, every type of permit, everything, it just boosts the cost of it up hundreds of thousands of dollars. The city worked with him on it. The city gave him credit for, you know, because they can give him credit, you know. And so here he is. He's built this beautiful new facility. And the
loyal customers
come in there, and so he's right by the freeway. So, well, how many of your customers come off the freeway? And he has statistics for all these businesses. You know, 40% for this restaurant, 50% for this. He says we get like 15%. Our customers are the ones that come to us and have been coming to us for years, which I think is great. Which tells you something about the Martinez family and the restaurant.
Absolutely, and like I said, it was about a 2.5 hour trip, and we saw the vineyards, contrary to what you believe. The vineyards is on the rise. It's a beautiful facility, a subdivision. We also saw another beautiful high-end subdivision behind Walmart, which the vineyards, it's coming back. Let's move from the vineyards into another area that is they got a grant to do the subdivision, the smaller subdivision that's over by the senior area.
Well, what they've done is they've got areas there for the senior citizens, but they also have a gent that started a lower, it's, I shouldn't say lower income, because they're really nice, but they're economically priced homes there. Brand new homes, and they are, and they're well, you know, It's a nice little area there. They're selling them, and it, you know, and in this time when it's hard to sell a house because of all the repos and everything, they're selling these. Anyway, what we wanted to just talk about was that it was nice of, you know, we appreciate Anderson inviting us down there, taking us on a tour of their city. They're proud of it, and I can see, no city is perfect, of course, but they're very proud of what they have, and we
Park.
We were, and thank you very much,
yes,
Anderson,
thank you
for taking
so
this
much.
I have noted that Anderson's attitude toward business is not, here are all the hoops you must jump through, but what can we do to help you?
That's kind of the feeling we got there. And you know what? Maybe Reading should take a look at that. All these new people wanting to run for city council and the ones that are on there now. Maybe we ought to take a close look at how do we make it easier for business. But that's just going to be an ongoing thing we've got. Hey, we've got to take a quick break and come back.
James Fawson.
James Fawson is here to give us a report on the city council meeting last night. Carl and the Bot, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. Yeah, welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. It's Carl and Linda Bott. It is 7:26 in the morning. Phone lines here are 605-4567, KCNR 1460, where you can chat with us. James Fawson.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So was that a...
Was it a late
night at the city council?
We were home by 7. It was a very, very quick, I call it casual Tuesday at the council. It was short, although Mr. Bassetti must have thought it was going to be a long session because he wore sweatpants and a T-shirt. I think he was anticipating a long one.
sweatshirt and with sweatpants and a T-shirt.
He looked comfortable. That's the way to go to a city council meeting.
Well, aren't they supposed to wear like ties or something?
There was not a tie to be seen up there. A lot of open
shirts. And it was open to the public.
It was open to the public.
So maybe they were in there all day long.
You know, maybe that's the way to do it. They'll get relaxed, maybe work out, a massage before you come, and change your whole attitude coming into the meeting.
A colonic, you know, the whole thing. Yeah, that's right. Okay, so what happened last night?
Like I said, it was a very short meeting. A couple public commentaries that came to mind. And, you know, one was the first one, and a gentleman came on board. And if anybody's never been to the city council, one of the first things they do is allow the public to come up and speak. The council can't act on anything. But the speaker gets about a 3 minute to just state their case on just about anything topic that involves the city. And a particular gentleman has asked that several contracts be posted on the city website, including all contracts with Turtle Bay, contracts as to the ownership of the bridge, whether it's the city or Turtle Bay, Big League Dreams contracts, lots of stuff he wanted to be seen and transparent. Not entirely sure why. I'm also not sure how the bridge in particular has become such an icon for government waste or government mismanagement. But it was pretty clear that that's where this was going.
Well, it's a target. It's an easy target. And it's just like, you know, okay, there's the bridge. We must be spending money on it.
Right.
That kind of thing. But the contracts, I don't know if by law you can put those contracts out like that, can you?
Well, and by law, the council really can't respond to any of these questions these people pose, so it was pretty mute after he had finished. But also Big League Dreams, any contract that had to do with McConnell Foundation and land and money, and it was just kind of an interesting rant where he was going with this. The real highlight for me, of course, was Dr. Randy Smith, who did a explanation on some of the work that they're doing on October 2nd, as they, for the fifth year, clean up some of the arms of the Sacramento River here in Redding.
He's been passionate and spearheaded that and been so
involved
with that.
He's going to be on the show to talk about that, too.
Yeah.
Well, passion's the word, and you know, particularly when you compare it with the first man who spoke about the contracts, you know, there was a type of passion that this gentleman was going for, and then Dr. Smith with just a kind of a different type of passion of quietly dedicating his time and energy to cleaning up the streams. A great great workforce he has out there, over 500
people.
He
takes no credit for it.
Yes.
And he does such a great work.
Well,
out there.
His goal going into it 5 years ago was to keep it revenue neutral, and it is. Hasn't cost anybody anything, hasn't made anybody anything, and I think he should be commended for that.
Okay. Hey, look, we're going to have to take a break here, and when we come back, we want to talk a little bit about the firefighters.
Okay.
About that. Okay.
Thank
you. Then we have some other guests lined up. But
our guest is James Fossen. He is our correspondent with the city council meeting and what happened last night. Currently 54 degrees. Going to be high today of 80. This is Carla Lindabot. We'll be right back after these messages on 1460.
Got Free Fire Radio on KC. Yeah, welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 at 7:35 in the morning. This portion of the show brought to you by B&T Satellites right off Airport Road. Doug Tooley and his merry crew of installers are there putting in Dish TV for you. Guarantees his work. Doug has been in business for 15 years. He's a local boy, and he hires local people. The money stays locally. Are you starting to get a drift here? Yeah, buy local, shop local. Money stays local, and he does great. Like I say, he does great work. He guarantees it. A veteran of the 82nd Airborne, the Doug has put in Dish TV at our house, and we are very, very happy with it. That's his phone number is 244-1988. Give him a call or stop by. Now, little announcement here: there's a big rig that's blocking the entire roadway on Cascade Boulevard at Oasis Road. Dispatchers reported about 7 o'clock this morning that an overturned big rig is blocking both lanes of Cascade Boulevard north of Oasis Road. The California Highway Patrol was called for a tow truck, but it will likely be at least an hour before the roadway was cleared, or is cleared, and this came out at about 7 o'clock this morning. So, be aware of that. Okay, James, tell us. Okay, we talked about the people asking for contracts to be on. And
correct.
We talked about Dr. Randy Smith in Clean Up the Waterways, which is a great thing. He's going to be on the show here next week. What else?
That really finished the meeting. Missy MacArthur ended it with a quick travel report to an event she went down to in San Diego that involved state and city officials throughout the area, and just reiterated how painful things are going to be a little bit with employees and payroll and making ends meet over the next couple of years. It's everywhere. We saw that last night with the council members from Bell, California, just how painful it can be.
Front page.
Yeah, they were
Bell
all arrested.
Officials arrested.
So you think we have a bad council?
But it can get worse.
I don't think we have a bad council.
No. The people stood up, though.
Yes.
They found out, were outraged, and it was like...
Well, the LA Times found out about it.
But it was, there was, and not only LA Times, the nation and the world. Yeah. So
it wasn't just that they had given themselves this money. Then they found out they did it illegally. That's why they're getting arrested.
Right.
It wasn't like, hey, we're going to vote, and nobody was paying attention because it's a small town. Hey, I'm paying myself $850,000 a year. Let's all vote. And it was, you know, if it was done out in the open, it was kind of like, oh, well, too bad. You guys are a bunch of jerks for letting them do it.
Right.
No, we're not making comparisons to
No, absolutely not.
Our people don't get paid anything. And in fact, the only thing payment they receive a lot of time is bad press and people yelling at them.
Well, and I've asked several of them, you know, why do you do it? And to a T, they say to make this place a better place.
Yeah, you know what? There isn't one of them up there that's doing it, whether you agree with them or not, that don't believe that they are trying to help our city.
I believe that.
Oh, that's true. And that's what we're getting to from everybody that's running that we bring on here. Okay, James.
The firefighters.
The firefighters offered this up, all these cuts, which turns out they aren't real cuts.
Like the police officers' unions, the contracts are quickly coming to an end, and they're going to have to sit down and renegotiate and come up with some different numbers that we can all live within. And like the police department earlier this summer, the firefighters offered some concessions to the city in a closed-door session. I think anybody that studied both sides of it realized right away that it would be voted down by the city, really for two reasons. Number one, they just they don't want to extend contracts right now, and they already told a different union no, so they were almost compelled to vote the same way twice. It was an interesting move.
They cannot extend the other one. They can't extend this contract
without
doing the others. You know, the other thing, too, these are just deferred. These are just deferred raises.
Correct.
And, I mean, this is not like, oh, it's just going to go away. They're not. And,
right.
In fact, the Record Searchlight had an editorial about this morning that just says, you know what, we're really upside down here. And this just is an indication that they're really... it sounds good, but it's going to hammer us next year. And so it's how far down the road can we push it?
Well, I think from a tactical move, both unions are doing a good job of staying out in front of this and at least favoring the citizens of Reading to see that they are at least trying. Whether it's going to be successful or not to try, it is a good tactical move.
Well, you know, the thing is, though, you go out in front of, go out in front of your local paper and, radio and TV and say, hey, this is what we're offering. But when you take a look at it, it's how are we going to pay them next year? I got news for you. The housing values are not going to go up in a year.
Correct.
We are not going to recover in a year. It's going to be years before we do this. So what does that mean? And, you know, what we need is a solid cut in what we're paying. I mean, and not a cut, but maybe, we go back to paying into the retirement fund.
Right.
It's happening all over California. And I really believe is that I believe the associations and the unions want to do this. I think it's just, hey, how are we asked? It's one of these things, ask me nicely.
Right.
I'm not sure.
You know, in one way or another, this is going to get resolved, and people are going to be unhappy, and some people are going to be okay with it. But it's coming to a head, and we'll have to get squared away.
Yeah. Okay. James.
Thank you.
We always appreciate you being here.
James Clausen, thank you so much. Again, this is your your way of being a public servant, too, is to,
yeah, you volunteer
to be our eyes and ears inside the city council. Let us know in the morning on our listeners on their way to work what's going on.
Well, we, Lisa and I, went to go to the city council meeting just to look at the chicken ordinance debate last year, and that's kind of got me hooked.
That's all it took.
And we got eggs this week.
Oh,
is that right?
Well, we have some friends that have eggs.
We get eggs weekly.
Now they've got chicks.
Yeah.
Well, I'm so glad
we get eggs
guys.
Weekly. It's from Holiday Mart.
Nice.
That's not exactly the same as you're talking
about.
No, not
at all.
Ours are kind of chilled. Yours are probably warm.
I would much rather have yours.
Yeah, chicken.
Well, you can have
there's
ours.
Nothing better than having fresh laid eggs. It's just the best in the world.
Really?
So, yeah.
You should listen to the show when I was here. That was a fresh laid egg.
I was listening.
Yeah, I know. We got to take a break. Carl and the Bot, Free Fire Radio. When we come back, I want to talk about a number of different things, but, you know, that concern us, you know, something that that one of our former presidents said, how good he is, how great he is, how much he's done for our country and the world since he was thrown out of the presidency. Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media.
Hi, this is...
Can find me and won't play games behind me. I'll be what I am.
Hey, welcome back to Free Fire Radio and KCNR 1460. You know, I am not a solitary man. I used to be until I found Linda. Okay, let's go ahead and right into it. I've just got a few minutes before 8 o'clock.
Where we're going to have the North State Symphony in.
Yeah.
Kyle is supposed to be in the house.
Somebody can explain to me what an oboe is. Carter. Jimmy Carter. Has made his made it in an interview that said that he feels that he, in his post-presidency career, has been superior to that of other former presidents. Jimmy, yeah, you know what? Considering that you were probably the worst president in modern times, I don't know how you can even say that. You know, what he did was he said, you know, I've just done so much for the world in domestic politics, international politics. This is Jimmy Carter. Okay, he's 86 years old. Maybe his mind's slipping. I'm not sure. Has he done things, Habitat for Humanity? Yeah. Has he been the best? I don't think so. But let's talk about when he was president. Do you believe, any of you believe that where we are right now has a lot to do with what Jimmy Carter did when he was president? How about things like killing the economy with 20% interest rates? How about having people taken in Iran and kept there for 444 days. How about dismantling the CIA that began that? You know, when I say dismantling the CIA, he had this great idea that satellites could do it all. You didn't need those nasty little spies out walking around. You didn't need those HUMINT groups, that human intelligence groups, throughout the world that could pick up things. No, you could do it all with satellites, listening devices and all that. Wrong on that, too. Let me see what I said. Oh, yeah, the Russians went in Afghanistan. What did he do? He took a strong stand and kept us out of the Olympics. Yeah, Jimmy Carter. You know, his financial ineptitude has, you know, I mean, you can look at the transgressions of Nixon and the financial ineptitude of Bush Jr. I mean, you could say that there was problems there. But if you look at that, look at what he did. He gave Iran back to Islamist jihadist reactionary forces there, and what has happened since then? Look what we have there, and now they're pushing for getting the nuke. So, Jimmy, before you go saying that you have been superior to other former presidents since you've been out of the presidency, maybe we ought to kind of like weigh in there someplace.
Where did he say that, by the way?
No, he said it on a he was an interview with Brian Williams. From on NBC.
He had been a superior post-president.
Yeah, you know, it's, you know, the thing is that, you know, he's put himself, you know, he wrote a book that just slammed the Israelis and got everybody all excited when he said that, you know, they should be out of there. Anyway, okay. The third economic advisor out of four for President Obama is leaving. Larry Summers. He's three out of the, they've had four of his economic advisors. Geithner, of course, you know, Treasury guy, is still there. But Larry Summers will be leaving here soon. And Geithner is left. And, of course, Geithner is left of a lot of things. But advisors are saying that, or you were hearing things that Obama may actually bring in someone who has run a business.
Oh, dear.
To advise him on the economy, vice academics who just talk about it. Can you imagine that? Maybe somebody that has got some experience in the business world, since all the other people he's had in there talking, telling him how good it could be, doesn't seem to have worked. You think that this is just the beginning of a bunch of people leaving? You know, there's the talk that Rahm Emanuel may be leaving to run for the real power position in the back there in the Northeast or the Midwest, which is the mayor of Chicago. So, you know, there are so many things that are going on right now that we can address just besides that. I mean, the things that are going on in Afghanistan, we lost nine more coalition forces were killed over there in a helicopter crash. I don't know if it was shot down, but it's just nine more. And it just reminds us how dangerous it is out there and how it doesn't hit the front pages that much.
And speaking of front page, we have a good friend, Charlie Moss, who somebody who is really behind creating a CalTIP, being a supporter of CalTIP and getting that whole thing started up here, which is about poaching. And they're saying that poaching is on the rise. I don't know how you feel about that. I know we have some friends that go abalone. They go yearly whenever they can go get their abalones, they go. And they said the face of the abalone seasons are really changing, too, in the fact that you can see that there's a lot of poaching that's going on, and they usually have had some of the same people that are in the same coves that come and they congregate. And they're looking up in the hills and up where people are parking, and they're seeing people that are actually not taking their quota or going beyond their quota. And the same thing goes with poaching. They're saying that they're having a mess of it now. So I'm going to give you a phone number. It's 1-888-334-2258. If you are suspicious at all of any kind of poaching or illegal hunting going on, do call CalTIP. We've got to take a break. This is Carl and Linda Bott here on Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460.
Carl and Linda Bott, good morning, 605-4567. We're chatting at KCNR1460.com.
Currently 54 degrees. The weather today is going to be high with an 80-degree forecast. Tonight's going to be low around 56. The weather's always brought to you by Anselmo Vineyards. September 25th, Candace Lavolsi will be out playing at Anselmo's. You want to call 474-5546. We should have our poster updated today, and you might want to check out what they've got going there. Also, we have October 1st and October 8th.
Yeah, and this portion of the show, as our many other segments, are brought to you by Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive. Joe and Shelley have got a great place in the finest walk-in humidor in the state. Not only that, but Espresso Joe's. They get that coffee that you want. It's getting a little bit cooler in the morning now, so they can warm up your innards with their coffee. They also have that meeting room that you can go to and just sit down and use their free Wi-Fi after you get your coffee. Can you hear that noise in the background? That is Bad Bob
rubbing his head because he's probably been up all night looking in a computer monitor.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. You know, probably been out there social media in it, right there, Bob.
Actually, the mother-in-law's in town, and we went last night to the Thai restaurant on North Market. It was quite good.
Oh,
you know what? You know, we've just got a couple minutes before we take the break here. But you know what? That I really, really am happy about.
I'm happy to hear that you're happy.
I'm happy about a lot of things. You know, even in this terrible economy we have, you know what the American public is saying in the polls? Of course, you know, here we go with polls again. It says a majority of the Americans prefer cutting the deficit to increasing government spending as a way to improve the tough economy and believe a more balanced budget would help create jobs. Oh, hello? Hello? Would somebody send this piece of paper to the White House in the Congress? A majority of the Americans prefer cutting the deficit. That means cutting spending. Did you get that? Cut spending before you start, class action war with, you know, with, oh, we'll cut some people's taxes. We'll let the Bush tax cuts exist on some. And, oh, but if you make this much money, you small businessmen out there, then, hey, we're going to punish you for being smart and being tough and taking risk. You know, this whole thing is that people want, just like you do in your own home, why don't you just cut back on the spending? And guess what? We make enough money if you just cut back on the spending. I don't know what, I don't know why it is so hard to get that idea across to city, county, state, and federal governments.
That's the great thing about growing your own vegetable garden and having chickens.
Which Chico just, one of their city councilmen said, hey, let's let people have chickens in their backyard, you know, cut back in the fee. And of course, I guess he was voted down on that, where in Reading, you can have chickens.
That's right.
James Fawson said they got their first egg.
I think that's so exciting.
I think it's great.
And, of course, Lou and Kathleen White just had chicks. That is so...
Real chicks.
But there's something very organic about that. Growing your own, being self-sufficient.
It is. You know, and speaking of growing your own, okay, we don't have enough time to get into the pot question right now, but we're going to discuss this in a later date. Who is for Prop 19? Well, it's not medical pot supporters. We'll get into this on a later date or maybe later on today. It's Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio and KCNR 1460. Come back after the break. We've got the symphony on, and you also can find out what an oboe is. KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media.
You're listening to KCNR Shasta Reading.
Yeah, welcome back to Free Fire Radio and KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Carl and Linda Bott, 8:05, going into this segment. You know, one of the things that we really, really enjoy is being able to talk to our neighbors, talk to different businesses, and bring out different things that are happening, different events that are happening in our community. And, you know, people say, oh, there's nothing going on. Well, if you really believe there's nothing going on in Reading, you must have your head under the pillow and not looking around, because every weekend a number of things are happening. I won't say dozens of things. That's not true. But there's so many things that are happening in our North State that we should be proud of. And, you know, today, Linda has brought on an entire, they're in here, they're crowded in here. It looks like, remember Animal House when the whole band got in that one spot? Here we are with probably, how many people?
Oh, it's what's in your mind of how many people are here. And it's not just that things are going on in Reading, but also Chico and the beautiful North State. And not just on the weekends, but every night of the week you can find something. And it's my great honor to have it with us this morning, Kyle Pickett, who is the music director and conductor of the North State Symphony. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
I'm so glad that you're here. I'm smiling from ear to ear. You guys kick off with something spectacular, and that's the Tchaikovsky, right?
That's right. That's right.
October 2nd.
October 2nd, yeah.
And one of my favorite instruments, French horn.
That's right.
All right. So tell us all about... first of all, can we... I want to talk about what's happening with the season, but I would like to know a little bit about who you are.
Sure. Sure.
Can you give us a little history of you, Kyle?
Yeah. Well, I'm the music director and conductor of the North State Symphony, which is the only professional orchestra in Northern California, north of, you know, the Bay Area of Sacramento. And it's a regional orchestra we're very proud of. We play all of our concerts in Chico and Reading, and some of them in Red Bluff, and we play in Oroville, and we've played in Orland and Anderson and Paradise. And so we really have tried to play all over the North State to live up to our name. And I've been here for about 10 years now with the symphony. I'm originally from the Bay Area, but my folks have a little cabin on Lake Shasta, so I've spent my entire life actually being up here on the lakes in the summer, and so... This is home. You know, this area is definitely home for me.
Where were you schooled?
I was an undergrad at Stanford, and then I went off to the East Coast. I was at Peabody Conservatory in Baltimore, is where I did my doctoral work in orchestral conducting.
And you'd say your key instrument was or is?
Is flute. I'm a flutist. My mom's a piano teacher, and so I grew up playing piano and you know, doing a variety of other instruments too. But my main performing instrument was flute.
How interesting. So did you ever take up sax?
Yeah,
it's the same
I did.
Fingering.
I made a fair amount of money in college playing in pits for orchestras, and so you played sax and clarinet and flute and piccolo, and you know, kind of doubling on all those instruments.
So where did the word, okay, you flute, or some would say flautist,
right?
And where did flautist? How did that come about?
Flautist is a made-up word.
Is it?
Yeah, we don't really use it very much anymore, but that was kind of the standard. You say someone was a flautist. It sounded European.
Oh, kind of like color with a U.
Yeah, but there's actually no real history of that word other than it was just kind of made up. So nowadays you say I'm a flautist.
Oh, okay, good. Yeah. So now I won't say you're a flautist because I always thought, well, I kind of have the inside. No, okay, well, great. So you play flute, and
right.
So... are there ever any original works that you get the opportunity, or do you have original works that you're able to have like an evening that's Kyle Pickett stuff?
You mean that I write?
Yeah.
No, I'm not a composer.
Okay.
You know, that's being a conductor and a composer are pretty significantly different skills. And there are, you know, there are throughout history some folks who did both of those. And often actually composers would cross over into the conducting realm in order to do their own works. But, no, I have great respect. I mean, my whole job is to take what composers have done and then realize them in live performance with the orchestra. And I'm very excited, actually, this year we are premiering a brand new symphony by Dan Pinkston, who is on the music faculty over at Simpson. He's a Reading composer, and he's written a new symphony. It's going to be a great piece. That's going to be in November. That's something I'm very excited about.
November what?
Let's see. That is it's the third week of November. I have to check my cheat sheet here to remember.
Oh, that's
that
okay.
That's November 14th.
Okay,
November 13th and 14th.
Could you leave this with us?
I will,
of course,
yes.
We're going to draw everybody to the website would be...
NorthStateSymphony.org.
Okay,
yeah.
.org. Okay,
.org,
there we go.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to take a break, and we're coming back. We're very honored. We'll be taking your calls as well. We have Kyle Pickett here, who's the musical director and conductor for the North State Symphony. This is Carl and Linda Bott here on Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. We'll see you after these messages.
Yeah, welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. Carl and Linda Bott, 8:13 in the morning. Phone lines here are 605-4567. This portion of the show brought to you by B&T Satellite, right off Airport Road, right down from the Burrito Bandito. Just look for the place where the satellite's out front. Doug Toomey, who puts in, he and Thule, I should say, and all of his merry men put in Dish Satellite for you. They guarantee the work. They're there on time. They're in there quickly. They make sure you're happy. We have it. He put it in our house, and we are really enjoying it. He puts in surround sound systems and home theater. 244-1988. Give Doug a call. You'll be happy you did.
Well, we are very, very thrilled to have, and it's funny here, you've got Kyle Wiley.
Yeah.
Pickett.
Right.
So you go by three names.
Yes, that's right.
Okay. So Wiley's your middle name, or did you hyphenate?
Actually, when my wife and I got married, her last name was Wiley and mine was Pickett, so we combined.
I think that's so cool.
Yeah.
And you see a lot more people starting to do that because, you know, they do that in Europe.
Just to cause lots of problems with the DMV.
There you
computers.
Go.
I guess it's a good thing her name wasn't Fence.
Yeah, exactly. Okay.
Right. Well, welcome to the show again. We're talking about the gala kickoff, October 2nd at the Cascade Theater, which is going to feature the French horns.
Yeah.
So tell us about the season coming up, and let's talk about the second again.
Yeah, we have a great season coming up. I'm really excited about it. You know, I say that every year, but this orchestra just gets better and better and better. And, you know, I would put us up against any regional orchestra in the country, really. And one of the things I always like to say is, you know, for those who are big fans of classical music or fans of the symphony, you don't have to go down to San Francisco now to hear a good orchestra. I mean, we'll never be the San Francisco Symphony. You know, they're a $45 million budget orchestra, and we can't come close. But as far as being an orchestra serving our community, we're doing some great stuff. And this season is going to be a lot of fun. We're opening on October 2nd here in Reading That's a Saturday night, and it's going to be a big kind of blockbuster show. We're playing Tchaikovsky's Fourth Symphony, which is one of the big audience favorite symphonies, and we're featuring our French horn sections section as our soloist in this wonderful piece by Schumann, really unusual and wonderful piece for four horns and orchestra. And we're kicking off with a great little gala celebration before the concert, and that will be at the Promenade, you know, across from the Cascade, at 5:30. Tickets are only $15 for that. You can get the tickets at the Cascade, as well as your symphony tickets. You can get at the Cascade box office, and it's going to be a lot of fun. We have a great board of directors, and in recent years we've had an influx of some really energetic and new young board members, and so we've got some folks who are really dynamic and who want to throw a big party. So there's going to be this wonderful party to kick off the season.
Well, it looks like you've got, of course, we want to encourage everyone to get out there October 2nd, but you have concerts on November 13th in Chico, and then again back November 14th, so that's back-to-back.
Right.
Which is November 14th, and so we've got Pinkston and Barber and Mendelssohn, and so we can go to northstatesymphony.org.
That's right.
And see what your rundown is.
Right. We have four main stage concerts, I like to call them. And so that's in October and November and February and May. And then we do a holiday concert, which will be in December, the week before Christmas.
Now, where would that be?
And that is at the Episcopal Church down by Cope Park. And then we do two chamber music concerts as well. So we have a lot of offerings throughout the year. And so if people like to hear sort of the smaller groups in a more intimate setting, the chamber concerts are great. The main stage or the big orchestra, you know, that's the full band. The Christmas concert's more of a chamber orchestra, which is, you know, a 20-piece orchestra kind of thing. And so it's going to be an exciting year.
So how many pieces in all for October 2nd for your kickoff?
I think it's about 70 or so, right around 70, 75 players for that one.
Can you imagine just how that will just envelop you with just this incredible musical experience October 2nd? And also I want to give a shout-out to Candice Lavolsi. Not only is she just a tremendous musician, she's a really incredible human being.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
What a wonderful addition, huh?
Yeah, a great addition to our orchestra and has been since I got here, actually.
So before we take a break, would you like to add anything else about the symphony
you
and
know,
the new season coming up?
The thing about hearing the orchestra live, it's as you say, it's this kind of overwhelming sensory experience. And so if you happen to be someone who likes classical music, you know you like, you listen on the radio, you listen to CDs, it's an incomparable experience to hear it live because the sound surrounds you and it's so much larger than you can ever get out of two speakers. I mean, I love recordings as well, but to hear that sound just kind of come over you, to be there with all the other people in the audience, to see the musicians working live, it's really meant to be heard live, and that's the service that we really provide to the North State. The other thing is, you know, if you're someone who doesn't know, or if you think, well, I haven't been to many orchestra concerts, I promise a couple things. One is no boring concerts. Not one of our concerts will be boring. You may not love every piece we do, but there will be no boring concerts. You will be surprised the kind of quality that we can put out just right here in our town. Our musicians are fantastic. They come from all over the North State, some from Redding, some from Chico, some from, you know, the Bay Area, some from Oregon. They really come from all over. And it's just a great experience. You know, we have a great orchestra. We play a wide variety of fun music, and it's fantastic live performance.
Our guest is Kyle Pickett, who is, of course, musical director and conductor for the North State Symphony. This is Carl and Linda Bott. We're going to come back. If you have any questions for Kyle, give us a call, 605-4567. Our chat room is open, too, and we're going to come back. I have a couple questions for Kyle, and hopefully you do, too. We'll be right back. And Linda Bott here. State, you're listening to Carl and Linda Bott here on Free Fire Media Radio.
8:24 in the morning.
KCNR 1460.
Chat room's back up again. It was down for a little bit.
You know, and our guest this morning is Kyle Pickett. We're talking about the October 2nd gala, but I have to laugh because that's the, not laugh, but I love that because their interactions. I got to call it the break. from somebody who said, now I want to talk to you about Dancing with the Stars. I tried to email you, and you need to let people know that half of those votes are from the public. Because I was like, God, David Hasselhoff, do you, you know, he got voted off. Do you think perhaps this is revenge? Because, you know, some people like him, some people don't. So my friend who was reminding me is to let people know that he's not very well liked, and that half of the people, in fact, I've heard three people tell me this morning, they expected him to be voted off. So there, I had to clear that. And yes, it is voted half off, and half off, half the people, half of the
Kyle. Is there a harmonica concerto?
There is a harmonica concerto.
Really?
Yes, there is.
Yeah, there is.
I spent years working on that. And I'm glad to see that finally somebody... Oh,
yeah, well, there is a harmonica concerto. I'm unlikely to play it, to
oh,
be
really?
Honest. It's not a really good piece.
I've been practicing for a year.
No, there somebody is. Gave there him is a box. A good friend of yours, Rick,
Rick
gave
Hill?
You a box of harmonicas in almost every key.
That's right, and that's unfortunately is the way I play.
There's a harmonica virtuoso, a guy named Bonfilio. Have you ever heard of him?
Bonfilio.
Bonfilio is an Italian harmonica virtuoso, and he's written this this concerto for harmonica and orchestra.
And? Doesn't work.
Well, like I said.
Do you think maybe it gets old after just a few? So after maybe a couple pieces.
Does it have chicken and the corn in that somehow?
It does not.
Okay. Well, how can it be a concerto without chicken and the corn?
Okay, October 2nd. Tickets are on sale at the Cascade Theater now. You can go to the opening night gala.
Right.
And for $15 on top of your ticket, you can be there to celebrate.
Food, music, drink, all sorts of things. Get it, you know, it's a big party. It's a lot of fun. You know, part of the fun of going to the symphony is, you know, going out with your friends and going to get some food, and it's an event. You know, it's a whole evening, and it's an event. It's something that's great fun to do right here in Reading.
Well, we really appreciate you coming on and sharing your musicianship and all, you know, the excitement about what's happening with some of the upcoming concerts, and that you're going to be Reading, Chico. You've got which is the church again? December?
Yeah,
Episcopal.
It's the Episcopal Church, and I can't remember the name
okay.
right off the top of my head.
Well, we know that it's
going to
be
All Saints.
Yes, it's All Saints.
Okay, there you
yeah,
go.
That's
it's
right.
That in December, that music, the Christmas special.
The holiday concert, right. Yeah.
Well, great. Well, thanks for being on our
Thank
show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
And we're looking forward to taking part of the music series with you this
great.
Year.
Absolutely.
Thanks so much.
Okay. I wish you could have worked in the harmonica concerto. Obviously, you don't listen to your public.
Maybe some future year.
Maybe some future year. Yeah.
Do you watch any kind of pop culture TV?
Sure, of course
did
I do.
Did you watch any of Dancing with the Stars?
No, I didn't. I didn't see that.
See, he must have missed that somehow.
I missed that. Yeah.
Okay. Hey, look, when we come back, we want to discuss a few things here. You know, one is we go back into the police are having it out with the... some of our local dispensaries, it appears that doctors are not writing the recommendations. It's physician's assistants that then are, I guess, approved by doctors. And we're going to talk a little bit about that. We also want to talk about how many of the medicinal marijuana supporters are against Proposition 19. And it looks like there's a lot of people lining up against Proposition 19. And, of course, there's lots of people lining up for it. I don't know if you can, you know, and we'll talk about that. Then we looks like we may have another guest here that wants to talk about a subject that is near and dear to our heart, and we'll have to see if we can work that out because, you know, they're kind of pushed on time. What else we have here going today there, my love?
Well, we're going to be talking more about what's going on with the firefighters and. Some of the things that is happening in the news, but we close this segment today with that, you know, no matter what's happening around the world, always embrace the love of music, because I think music is very healing, and we're just really honored to have Kyle on, and you know, some of these North State musicians that are in this symphony are just unbelievable, and thank God they've hung around. They've stayed in Reading, like you, Kyle.
That's right.
They have. And, you know, the other thing, too, we want to talk about is the campaign is heating up here for city council. You know, all 10, we're lining up our last two candidates that have not been on the show. And they're going to be on next week. Susei Chow, and Mr. Hicks is going to be on, or Riggs, I'm sorry, and we'll have them on so we can discuss that so you can get a good idea what they want to do for our city. But up to now, we've had, it's starting to break down, it looks like, between a union slate, and you can call it anything you want, but it's a slate. When you see three names put together and it's backed by the unions or the associations, that's one side. And then you have the others. It looks like the Chamber of Commerce is back, you know, is rolling into. So we want to be discussing that over here over the next few weeks. And our guest tomorrow, of course, is, you know, when Linda has her show tomorrow night, we have our second guest co-host, Dr. Doug McConnell, is going to be on tomorrow. We're going to be discussing medical issues, but a bunch of other things besides that. He is not a one-song man, you might say. He can play a veritable symphony of subjects that he can touch on.
Don't forget the MASH Bash is also on the 25th, and they're still selling tickets. So you want to get a hold of Rob Burrows, or call us here at the station. We'll tell you how to get tickets.
There you go. Okay, and Bob, the last thing for Bob.
Sir.
What about that? What about the crash out there? Is that cleared? Have we found
they
out anything
are still
about
in
that?
The process of clearing it up. It is a big rig, made a tight turn and went over on its side, so that'll be a little while clearing up yet, and I'll be checking on that during the upcoming break in 15 seconds.
Okay. All right, Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. Carl and Linda Bott, it is 8:34 in the morning, September 22nd. Our phone lines here are 605-4567, or you can chat with us at kcnr1460.com. Just get in there and join. It says you have to join. You can just say connect.
Yeah, you can also email me, Linda, at kcnr1460. I've got my email open and my chat room. Today's going to be high of 80 degrees, and it is currently 55.
Trying to see through
my
Bob
glasses
over there.
Were close, not far away, but anyway, so they're over there on the computer. 55 degrees. Weather's always brought to you by Anselmo Vineyards.
We had a little mix up yesterday on people coming in. We thought they were coming in, they thought they were coming in today, but we got them in here today. You know, something that it came across my desk, and it concerned the suicide rate for our military. And things I've been reading is the suicide rate for our military is higher now than it's been, I don't know, in decades. I'm not sure. And that's something that's bad on me. I should have gone back to see, you know, what it was over the past century, at least over the last 30 or 40 years. But Doug Milhouse, Mike Wiley, and Kevin Raffa are here. Doug is... you were with who? With
I'm a member of the Reading Friends Meeting, and that's the organization that is sponsoring this silent vigil this evening.
Okay, and that's what you're here to talk about is there's going to be a vigil,
right?
To do what?
Okay, well the vigil is at 5:30 at the south end of the Diesel Horse Bridge is where we're meeting. And the purpose is to call public attention to the rising rates of suicide in our military and among veterans. You know, we're very concerned about that and alarmed by that. And we want to call attention to it and at the same time honor the memory of these soldiers who have died by suicide.
Well, you know, Mike handed me some statistics here, and it's showing that the suicide rate has been, and then a comment from General Peter Chiarelli. At the start of the recent meeting, he went over the latest figures. We have 45 active duty suicides. We have 13 confirmed and 32 pending. He says that number is down. 36 are not active duty. There's no statistical difference between this year and last year in both these categories. So, but it's still a number that's been rising.
It has been rising, and the numbers are a little hard to pin down. My understanding is that, for instance, in the Army, that the rate of suicide has doubled since 2004. And that those numbers are pretty well confirmed.
Yeah, I mean, we're not talking thousands of people here, but still, it's an alarming trend that when it starts, you know, when it doubles. This is a tough life that these people have chosen to do.
Right.
And being away and all these others. Are you, okay, the vigil to remember the ones who have committed suicide.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what else? What is this the only? Is this the only reason to have the vigil? Is there something else that you all are also wanting to talk about?
No. We're focusing on this issue of suicide among our soldiers, and I guess that would lead into a broader discussion, possibly, but maybe at another time, of how we support soldiers that are returning from war.
You know, that's really a good point. I'm glad you brought that up. I don't know if you know, I returned from Iraq in 2007.
Mm-hmm.
The difference between how we returned in 2007 and how what we did in 1990 and in the 1960s and 70s is dramatically different. Dramatically different mm-hmm. on how we treat it. But are we doing enough? That's a great question. I don't think we are. I don't mm-hmm. think that we're paying enough attention to what happens to our young warriors and older warriors when mm-hmm. they come back and back into society.
Yeah. I'd like to give Mike Wiley a chance to speak
absolutely.
To that.
Just move that over.
Yeah, I'm a Vietnam veteran, and
thank you for your service, Mike.
You're welcome. I'm also retired from the Navy, and I'm also a master's level social worker, and I've worked in mental health in these rural counties. And the reason that I'm interested in supporting tonight's vigil and the work that the Friends Committee, the Friends Society does, is because I don't think there's ever been enough attention paid to not only the active duty folks that are involved in the difficulties and are committing suicide at a higher rate. And, of course, the General Chiarelli says that the rate of increase is enough that they had to do a major new study on it.
Right.
So it is significant. Another thing that I want to that we hope to bring attention to is that according to the VA, there are 18 veterans a day that commit suicide. That's 18 per day. That's a report released this year.
That's all veterans. I mean, that's
all veterans
wars,
in this
all,
country.
All, time
all
service.
Veterans. Right. So today's vigil, is not just about the active duty folks, but it's about what a sad thing it is that we aren't supported by society. That if you're around a military base, and we've been around bases, there's a wonderful close-knit community. And one of the reasons to live in Reading is because the veterans community here is stronger than almost anywhere else. But we still have this massive problem of 18 veterans a day. We have over 200 a year on active duty that commit suicide. And we just want to bring people's awareness. We want to raise that awareness. This is not a political question of what's right or wrong.
No, this is not. No, we're not talking politics here. We're
not
talking
at all.
About helping the warriors.
We're talking exactly. And
yeah.
And when we talk about helping the warriors, it's not just the warrior. As we know, military relationships are really strong. So it's like that classic, you drop a stone in the puddle and the ripples, because everybody in the family is affected. Everybody that soldier, that Marine, that sailor works with is affected. Everybody around them, all the troops around them, everybody is negatively affected, and it comes back home here.
No, absolutely. No, you're absolutely right. Look, we've got to take a break here. As many times as we've said on this show, and if you listen to our shows, we don't care what you think about war. You know, whether you support it or you don't support it, it's the warrior. That's where our attention is. That's the one we support. Those are the ones, those men and women that are putting it out there for us. That's who we support. We got to take a break. Carl and the Bot, Free Fire Radio. KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media.
Timberline.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. Carl and the Bot. This portion of the show brought to you by Cypress Square Barbershop off Athens Avenue. DC Tim and the Man in Black give great haircuts, great prices. They give discounts for veterans. Go down and see them. You're going to like it. Man's Last Stronghold. If you don't believe me, look at the what's written on the on the window when you walk in. Hey, one of our guests here also, besides Doug Milhouse and Mike Wiley, and we're talking about a vigil tonight for to kind of like bring awareness to the suicide rate that the that our soldiers and sailors and Marines, our warriors are experiencing now, which is, seems to be higher than it has been in the past, is Kevin Raffa. Kevin, good morning.
Morning, sir.
Get up a little bit closer here.
Right,
okay,
morning, sir.
Now you're doing okay. Now, Kevin, you look at Kevin here. And Kevin has a little bit longer hair and a beard. Don't underestimate Kevin. Kevin's been there, done it. He's a combat control air controller. He's jumped in, done those things. Was just been in Iraq a couple of years ago. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
You can get over that one, unless it's my age and you're doing
well,
it because
the silver kind of gives it away.
Is that it? Okay. We're having. Wait a minute. Hang on a second. Let's change one. All right, we're just kind of adjusting microphones here. We got a lot of different people. And okay, Kevin, you're here also to bring notice or bring attention to the suicide rate we're having in the service.
Yes, broaden the awareness. But we've been talking here off the radio. There's a question that most of the people in America would probably be asking us. You know, what can we do to fix this issue? What can we do to slow the rate down or even stop it? Off the show, off the radio, we've all discussed, and, you know, the only answer for that is stop sending us to war.
No, that
you know,
could be.
That's, you know, because you send all of us warriors over to war, and then we come home with no support. You know, how do we decompartmentalize all this stuff that we experience and go through over there? Our families are pretty unaware of the stuff we experience, the stuff we go through. They don't know how to support the return home of us warriors. We get dumped off, some of us get injured, and then we don't get returned back to a military treatment facility, so to speak. We get sent to Walter Reed Army Medical Center, which is an environment full of triple and quadruple amputated individuals. And then you're surrounded by thousands of brother-sister warriors who are maimed and lamed for the rest of their lives. And so therefore, we never really get brought back to a productive, conducive environment for our healing. Our government in itself takes us from a war environment, brings us back to another environment that is not safe. And then when we do get released to our homes, the home communities have no support for us. And so we're here as a group trying to support the Friends group to help broaden this awareness so that these warriors, our brothers and sisters, can come home instead of ending their lives, find a new way to live a life.
You know, you may not like to hear what Kevin says. You may not agree with everything he says there, but much of what you say is true. You know, that we have we bring our warriors back, the ones that have been wounded. Mm-hmm. We our care, for the most part, is very, very good. For the most part, it's after they return home.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's kind of like almost, you know, it's one thing to treat the warrior, but you need to also, like you said, Mike, we need to treat the people around them and the families. Treat this almost like a you know, like Alcoholics Anonymous, which is I hate to use that as a way of doing it, but their family gets involved in this too.
In other cultures and older cultures, when the warriors come back, and we can take a look at the Native American cultures, the village and the tribe accepts them back in, and they help them through a process of ablutions, of ceremonies, to help ease the stigma, to ease the pain, whatever it is that those warriors bring home with them. We don't do that here. And yes, we get good medical care, and I have nothing but praise for the VA. Once you get in the VA system, it's wonderful care. The people there are just top-notch, great folks once you're in. But our society doesn't pay that close of attention to us.
Well, you know, you're right, up to a point. And again, I think it depends on that, where you are, where your village is. In the village of Redding,
Redding's one of the best.
Is an exception. The veterans here are giving are given honors in many ways. Is it the best? Is it, you know, is everything being done? No, but I don't think it's because of they don't care. I think some cases they need to be led, or need to
be
shown.
They're not aware.
They're not aware. The whole thing is an awareness thing, like you're saying.
Less than 1% of the population has served in the military.
There you go.
We
except up here in Shasta County, in the North State.
Our demographics are unusual because of the wonderful retirement opportunities here. A lot of us old
old guys,
soldiers, and sailors, and airmen come up here because of the among other things, the close veteran support that we have. Part of our vigil tonight is to increase that. We'd love to have veterans come out. This is, again, it's not a political thing. This is secular.
That's what I want to make real clear, is that it's not a political thing. It's not slamming anything. It's like, it's hey, what can we do to help our fellow veterans? And you're absolutely right. One of the things that Linda said to me, and after I returned in 07, she says, you need to come up to Reading and take a look at it. She says, it's really veteran-friendly. And when I came up, I stopped. The first time I stopped, I was met by the Patriot Guard riders who welcomed me home. And it's one of those things that you're absolutely right, Mike. So hey, we're going to have to take a quick break, and we come back. We want to finish this segment up. Carl Lindebaugh, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media.
Hi, I'm Pat.
Back down. No, I won't back down. You can stand me up at the gates of hell, but I won't.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio and KCNR 1460. Our guests today are Doug Milhouse, Mike Wiley, and Kevin Raffa. And did I pronounce that right, Kevin?
Yes.
Okay. Well, you know, what we're talking about is tonight there's going to be a vigil, and it's a non-political, it's secular. It's a vigil for those warriors that have committed suicide. And it's going to be tonight at 5:30 on the south end of the Diesel Horse Bridge. Is that correct? We had a chat in the chat room. Somebody asked a question and said, my nephew's getting ready to go off into Afghanistan. He's been led a sheltered life. How can we support him? He started smoking, which is had not ever done before. Kevin, what would you say to that?
Well, what I would say is show love. Send him off with a hug. Tell him you love him. Welcome him home with a hug and tell him you love him. Give him a support network before he goes. Let him know it's there so that way he can call upon it if he's gone while he's gone with a letter, a phone call. Send him a letter. Send him a care package. Let him know you're thinking about him while he's gone. And the issue about smoking, a little sign of anxiety, and sometimes us soldiers, us warriors, like to try to self-medicate in one way, shape, form, or another to help cope with those emotions that we're about to deal with heading off into such a battle.
And, you know, the thing, Mike, y'all can jump in here, too. You know, the thing about it is what Kevin just said is absolutely true. Set up that support network. But it's not only just for him. If he's married, make sure you include his family in that. Because they're back here, and trust me, if they're back in Reading and, you know, they came home to see mom or stay with the parents while he's gone, you need to include her and those kids in that support network.
Very correct.
And that support network is, you know, what one of the great things we've got today is in our internet technology is you can be in touch all the time. We used to think that, you know, we'd say that when we're over there, hey, this is one of the greatest assets is they can talk to home. One of the greatest deficiencies and detriments is they can talk to home every day.
Another great thing the family can do is show up to the vigil tonight because there you'll meet fellow Vietnam, Iraqi veterans, maybe even older. But we're there. Family's there. Bring yourselves out.
That's right. And again, the network to take care of the warriors that are out there. And then especially when they come home. That same network can't just, okay, we got him home or her home and just leave. No, it's like Mike has said, is you know, this thing is where we approach back. It's like as our tribe, we welcome our warriors back. We make them. We enable them to feel like being part of society again.
Well, as real as it is, so the people out there know, I returned back from Iraq in January of 2005, and here we are, September 2010, coming up on 5 years of a journey to find my way back home after returning home. Just so you guys out there are aware, it's not an overnight journey that we go through once we leave. It's a lifelong battle that we fight coming home, so please help us.
Yeah, and we have a number of our friends that are also Iraqi freedom vets and Vietnam vets like Mike is here that have been battling this since the 60s. Mike, can I give me you know thoughts here in the last couple of minutes?
Well, I want to echo Kevin's request that we encourage and invite folks to come out. That this is one of the best ways that we know of that we can show support for veterans and their families, and that's just to come out and be a part of this network. This is not about the Friends Group. This is about all of us in our community being out there and showing that we're trying to support all of the veterans and their families. It doesn't matter how old they are. One of my dear friends is a Pearl Harbor survivor in the community. Kevin's another good friend. He's a recent veteran. And we all share the same kinds of values. Again, this doesn't matter what church we go to or who we vote for. We're patriots. We're the ones that have put our butts on the line. And we want to show that same kind of commitment and dedication tonight, and want to have you all of you folks come out and join us in showing our support for the families and the veterans that are coming back and having to deal with some of these issues.
It's not pro or anti-war. This is pro-warrior.
Pro-veteran.
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 Okay, great. Okay, our guests have been Doug Milhouse. And Doug, you got anything to say? You've been kind of letting the other guys talk here.
Well, Mike and Kevin have expressed my thoughts very well. Come out and help us support returning soldiers and raising awareness of the suicide issue. And we hope to see you at our vigil at the Diesel Horse Bridge, meeting at the south end at 5:30 this evening.
Okay. I'm glad this worked out. We had you all scheduled for yesterday, and there was a mix-up in dates, but we were lucky that we were able to kind of grab you in here for this. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
We got, like, what, how much time we got left?
1:15.
Okay. We've got tomorrow, we've got Dr. Doug McConnell's going to be on. He's going to be our guest co-host because Linda's got her show going tomorrow night. Thanks a lot, gents.
Thanks a lot, guys. Hey, by the way, tomorrow night we'll have James Fossen. Dave Alvin's going to be calling in. We're going to be talking about his concert, which is coming up on the 29th. I have a special segment with a very interesting woman. That is A Woman in a Man's World, Breaking the Glass Ceiling. You do not want to miss that. Also, Lisa Collins will be talking about what's happening in the Norris State, plus some other guests and giveaways. Tomorrow night at 6, it's On the Spot with Linda Bott.
Yeah, giveaways. There's a lot of things going on this weekend. We'll be talking about that tomorrow and Friday, but especially in tomorrow night.
Don't forget the weather today. It's currently 58 degrees. It's going to be high today of 80. And, boy, it's beautiful outside.
It is beautiful.
For the weekend.
It is. It's going to be a great weekend. So we've got the Harley getting a new tire on it.
And, by the way, thank you, Rocky, who's working on the side.
Yeah, Bo. Yeah, Bo's working. Okay, just remember, it's the good guys against the bad guys. Which are you?
This is KCNR Shasta Redding.